The powerful images of the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s helped to bring the movement into the homes of Americans. They saw black people in the South defiantly holding their ground at lunch counters, riot police unleashing water cannons and dogs on peaceful civil rights protesters, and the courage and conviction of the movement's leaders.
Dan Budnick was right there with a camera to document the fear, the courage, the anguish, and joy that could be seen on the faces of participants of the movement. He stood behind Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as he delivered his historic I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial. His pictures appeared in Life, Look, and the other magazines that use photography to chronicle a post-war world. From the Cuban Revolution in Havana to the funeral of John F. Kennedy, Budnick found a way to be in the middle of history with his camera. Later, he found his way to Arizona, where he spent the rest of his career documenting the Hopi and Navajo people. Budnick died August 14th at the age of 87 in Tucson, and our co-host Lauren Gilger spoke more about his life and legacy with Diane Nilsen, Budnick's longtime friend and assistant toward the end of his life.
Dan was a person that had some very deep-seated beliefs from the time he was a child and throughout his life that were focused on connections. He felt very strongly about humanity and the beauty of humanity. It goes back to when he was a young child, the story of his being so incensed when a young child in kindergarten threw rocks at a passing black elderly man. And Dan was so taken aback because he was raised to respect elders. And this child threw some pebbles at a man walking along the railroad tracks. And it so incensed him that he shook the boy and said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Don't ever do that again." And that kind of injustice really had an impact on him. His photography has a thread through it that Dan was so committed to, whether it was photographing artists at work and the profound humanity behind their personalities and their art, or the marches that he photographed in Selma with the civil rights protests. And then that led to his realization that the Native Americans were what he calls at the bottom of the heap in terms of how they had been treated. So he realized in Selma that he wanted to help make an impact on change for the Native Americans.
So in that way, it sounds like he was able to take these deeply held beliefs about just human dignity, it sounds like, and transcend it into his work as a photographer. How do you think, like, in the images themselves, that comes through?
Well, when you look at Dan's work, let's take the civil rights photographs. Of course, we all know about the atrocities that the protesters encountered in the 60s and before, but Dan chose not to show the violence and the fighting and the blood. He chose to show the peacefulness with which these people were fighting for their human dignity. And when he photographed, he chose to show the dignity of people rather than the conflict. And he felt that by helping the cause through his images, he was fulfilling a mission that he had.
Let's talk a little bit about his connection to Arizona and the Southwest and the desert. You mentioned his deep connection with the Hopi people and their nonviolent practices. He also was friends with Georgia O'Keeffe later in life. What was it about Arizona, about this place and the people in it, that drew him?
After the Selma March, Dan had pretty much decided he wanted to photograph the Native Americans and help with their protests over land disputes in northern Arizona and in New Mexico. And that's what drew him here initially, having met with some of the elders and his interest in their culture and their ways and their prophecies and the beautiful country. I think that's basically what drew him here.
Last question for you, Diane. What was he like you know, personally, and in what ways do you think his photography really reflected the essence of his character?
Dan was tall in stature. He was soft-spoken. He was a gentleman. He really enjoyed people. I first met him at the Center for Creative Photography at the University of Arizona, where I worked for 30 years. Dan would visit the center, and as a person, he kind of lived his belief system. He was peaceful in his heart, and he was very interesting to listen to. And I think all of these things, because he could make these connections, which not all people can, he was able to engage with those that he photographed in deep ways that were not just like a snapshot. He really engaged with them and was able to show their true selves and the beauty around them.
All right, that is Diane Nilsen, Budnick's longtime friend and assistant toward the end of his life. Diane, thank you so much for coming on the show to tell us about him.
Thank you, Lauren. I was happy to be here.